What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 129 of Smack Talk from SmackOutMoment.com. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and with me on the mic this evening, we have, coming up later on, most likely Sean Walker and Drew White, but they are not with us right now for the Ask Him. What we do have, Mike Payton. What?
The gorilla, apparently.
He's the Dace Man.
We have Chris Jester.
Hey, what's up?
Steven Wago. And Miguel Leon.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Everybody else made a noise. Come on.
No Tarzan noises. Oh, God. Our main event for this evening is going to be running through all of the matches that we have for Extreme Rules. We're going to give our predictions for all of them. We're also going to do a little bit of an update with the Fantasy League coming up in part 12. Yes, there's 12 parts of this episode. We're going to take a little break before that with the rest hold, and we're going to do the hot tags of the week naturally coming up in part 2. But since this is part 1, we're going to do what we usually do, the wrestling trivia question of the week, otherwise known as the Ask Him. Last week, it was Payton's, so give us a little refresher. What was last week's question?
Well, last week's question revolved around the theme of one of my favorite things in this world, facial hair. And that question was this. NXT superstar was famous for his mustache, even though he did not have one. Now, the answers we got for that, first off, Awesome Piano Man saying Bailey. That's not nice. I think Bailey's cute. The Habit Man saying lol at Bailey, she's got that stash. Again, I disagree, but he also follows up with the correct answer, Big Eli Cottonwood. And Watchman King 67 as well, saying Eli Cottonwood. What a stupid name. If you haven't gone back and watched that, they were having one of those free form promo moment things where they gave him a word to follow up. They gave him mustache, and oh my gosh, it's just one of the most embarrassing promos of all time. One of the most laugh out loud moments. Look it up. Mustaches.
Wasn't it the same group with McGillicuddy, too?
Oh, yeah. Alex Riley.
And McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Percy Watson. Probably
I got to debate Payton on the Eli Cottonwood having the worst name. In terms of a wrestler, Lucky Cannon is probably the worst wrestler name.
That could have worked perfectly if he was, like, the understudy for Val Venus.
Yeah.
What a terrible season. Alex Riley looked so much better than everybody else, then they ended up not actually giving that him the win.
I give them credit for actually giving the win to Caval. You know, they usually try to snub the indie guy, you know, to spite the fans, but they actually gave it to him that season.
It's a shame he didn't work out. He could have been cool. All right, so this week's question. I believe, Miguel, you have one for us.
Yes, I do.
Hit us with it.
All right. It's almost a month since WrestleMania, but I figured, you know, it would be right to make some, you know, to get a question based off of WrestleMania. That, because that was the first bit of random stuff that I was able to pull off the internet. So, here's the question for you guys. Which WWE star holds the record for most WWE title wins? Now, not just WWE, but we're talking WWF, WWE, and World Heavyweight Champion. Who holds the record for the most main event title wins at WrestleMania?
John Cena?
John Cena.
Yeah, you guys are all right.
Nice.
It's John Cena with 4. He won at WrestleMania 21, 25, 26, and
29.
That's
gross.
Why is that gross?
Because it's John Cena.
Ew, it's so icky. Ew.
I want to think that would be like someone else, but no, I had to know that it would be John Cena.
Like a Shawn Michaels or something?
Yeah, Triple H, The Rock.
Shawn Michaels' WrestleMania record's actually not that good at all.
He doesn't have a lot of title wins either, so I never would have thought it would have been like...
It's funny you mentioned bad WrestleMania streaks, because that leads us into the question for the fans out there.
Now we all know
that The Undertaker holds the record for the most wins at WrestleMania at 21, obviously, given his streak. Which wrestler holds the record for most WrestleMania losses? I'll throw that out to you guys out there.
God.
I think I know the answer. And if you guys think you know the answer, go ahead and take a guess. Leave a comment below or send a tweet at SmarkOutMoment with the hashtag AskHim. And on the next episode, we'll tell you who gets the fabulous no prize, who gets punishment, whatever the case may be. We're going to come back.
Who gets the wrath of Leon?
Who gets the mauling of Miguel?
Right, there you go.
Yeah, the wrath of Leon sounds terrible.
The lashing from Leon. We're going to come back in part two with the hot tags of the week and keep this rolling. Welcome back,
hot
everybody.
Tags!
It's hot tag time. Hot tags.
Hot tags. Hot tags.
We have six hot tags for this week, and we're going to start off with one that's kind of confusing, at least for me. WWE is going to be investigated for potential securities laws violations. The fuck's that mean? I have no idea.
Does this have something to do with Heartbleed?
Maybe. Bret Heartbleed? I don't know. There's something about stocks or whatever. I don't do stocks, so to me, this is all kind of meaningless. But let's go around and see what you guys say. Miguel, you brought this to my attention. What do you think about this?
Basically, the story is there's a website out there called shareholdersfoundation.com, which is a reference site that stockholders go to, which tells them when a company is under investigation. And they put out a warning saying that WWE is under investigation regarding its business, its prospects, and its operations that they might have been fraudulent about. Now, that's basically all we know. According to WrestleZone, WWE got in contact with WrestleZone and put out a quote saying, "The claim that Shareholders Foundation is allegedly investigating has absolutely no substance or merit." So there's not much coming out. This literally broke like within the last few hours. So I can't say there's a lot of information out there, but this could have even the news out there of this could have an effect on their stocks, which have been going down as of late due to the backlash surrounding the WWE network.
I thought they were going up.
I heard they were going down.
No, they dropped down incredibly after they failed to reach 1 million, because apparently 500,000 isn't a good thing in since February. I mean, that's ridiculous.
They were
going
to reach 1 million by the end of the year. It's April.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Wago. When you tell Wall Street something, you got to follow through. If you don't follow through with what you say to Wall Street, they will rebel against you.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, 500,000? Like, they opened up the thingy in February. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous that they got that many subscribers.
True, but they said in their press releases that by WrestleMania, they hope to get 1 million a million buys. When you make a promise like that, like you said, you got to follow through. And they did not follow through, and Wall Street basically, when you break that trust with Wall Street, you lose out on it. And they got to be really careful with what they say. Now they're saying by the end of the year, and I guarantee you if they don't hit 1 million by the end of the year, their stock's going to drop like crazy, because that's two in a row.
Well, you know what? Fuck Wall Street.
Agreed.
So let's go around here. Wago, any other thoughts about that?
Besides fuck Wall Street, not really. I mean, I think they're pretty confident that it's just false accusations, and they'll prove it. It's just a shame that the news has got out if it turns out that they are perfectly fine and it's going to affect their stock. So, yeah. Sucky.
Jester?
Fuck Wall Street.
Peyton, fuck Wall Street.
Well, I'm just going to say this is what happens when you put the devil's favorite demon in charge of your company's daily operations. Shit's just going to happen. Shareholders are going to get upset. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to rectify this.
Another hot tag here. Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett's new promotion, is going to be partnered up with AAA, and they're going to do some kind of a talent exchange back and forth. So whatever wrestlers end up joining GFW, it's going to get really awkward to say, isn't it? They are going to be wrestling in AAA every so often, and vice versa. I think that's pretty good. I can't imagine Global Force Wrestling having the hugest roster in the world. So if they can bring some talent from there and get some kind of attention, all the better. And I'm not really going to be paying too much attention to that. I really don't know all that much when it comes to AAA and their wrestlers, but for the people that are fond of that kind of stuff, then that's only a benefit. Going in the same order here, Miguel, what do you think about that?
Well, the only AAA wrestler I know off the top of my head is, I believe Michael Corleone, who's the former Mark Jindrak, works with AAA. He's the only guy I can name off the top of my head.
He's not even Hispanic.
Yeah, but he's been working in Mexico for years now. I mean, he's been bouncing between CMLL and AAA on and off. I don't know if he's in AAA right now, but he's the only guy I can name off the top of my head from there. Even so, I mean, what guys are GFW going to have that's going to warrant the talent exchange? Like, I'm sure they're going to be really excited to get the likes of Eugene and Chris Masters over there in Mexico. I mean,
I think they have Matt Hardy. I think I heard something about that.
Okay, that's like a notch up.
I hope they've got high grade budget.
I mean, at that point, you might as well see if you can get Chavo Guerrero in there.
I think you're looking at it backwards, so I think it's less about being able to send those guys, it's less AAA being excited about having those guys come to them, and it's more about them being excited about having this opportunity to get more exposure in America.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I'll give Jeff Jarrett credit. He knows how to network. You know, he worked out the deal with Russell One for TNA before he left. He was always working stuff out with CMLL and AAA for TNA. Like, I'll give him credit. That's his one strength that I think he could use to his advantage, is building a network. So maybe this will blossom into something more. It's just, like I said, when you look at how bad the American talent roster is when it comes to the guys that are available, I don't know, man. Like, look at the people TNA has tried to bring in, and they're TNA. You know, they're arguably the number 2/3 big wrestling company, and now you've got this little GFW promotion. I don't know. You know, we'll have to see.
Anybody else have any other thoughts they want to do on this before we move on?
If they merge with AAA, do they get the rights to Los Matadores?
No, they get the rights to
Totally works that way. Instead of calling it GWF or
GFW?
Can we just call it GFWA? Sounds better.
Sure,
GFWAAA.
Actually, GFWA is a lot easier to end up just
rolling. Can we just not talk about it?
Yeah, no.
I was wondering, does the it noise appropriate for GFW as well?
No, for that we gotta go.
What's gonna happen is they're gonna take all the A's in AAA and put them between the consonants, so it's gonna be GFWA.
That's actually really good.
Speaking of bringing outsiders into American, or not into American soil, onto American soil. That. There's rumors that Kenta is going to be joining WWE, and I'm apparently ignorant enough about this, too, that I don't know too much about Kenta. I've heard the name a bunch of times. I've seen him on a lot of, like, PWI lists for, like, greatest wrestlers of the year and everything like that, but quite honestly, I have never seen a match of his. I have no idea what he's about.
Isn't he a hot dog-eating champion?
I'll give you this. He's one of the most respected athletes in the Japanese wrestling scene, and you would best perhaps know him as the guy that CM Punk stole both of his finishers from, as well as Daniel Bryan stealing his running knee finisher from.
Is it safe to say that Kenta's like the Shawn Michaels of Japan? Like, he's one of those, like, respected workers of sorts?
I would put it more along like a Ricky Steamboat. No, not Kenta Kobashi. That's a different guy.
Oh, I might be thinking of him then.
No, Kenta Kobashi, I wouldn't compare him to like a Shawn Michaels. I mean, he's like respected and all that, but he's not a workhorse like.
No, I just wanted to make sure we're all talking about the same Kenta.
No, Kenta Kobashi is someone else who is awesome as well, but he's old. He's not coming to WWE.
Well, that might be actually the person I'm thinking of on the PWI list.
No, he's really old. I mean, he's like Ric Flair old now.
All I know is Kenta's stealing my gimmick, and he's infringing on mine, Clinton.
So,
it's, you know what, I'll say this about it. It's nice that WWE is reaching out to getting these top level Japanese stars. I mean, I just hope they don't put him in the same spot that Yoshitatsu's in, because Yoshitatsu actually was a pretty solid star before he came over to WWE, and he's doing nothing.
Never mind Yoshitatsu. What about poor Tensai?
Who?
Well, any other last thoughts about that, Miguel? We'll move person to person here.
I think I spoke my piece. Anybody else want to add anything to that?
Wigo?
Meh.
Jester?
Fuck Wall Street.
Payton?
I think this is a fantastic move. I think that I love what they're doing with the Performance Center, but we still need to get variety in there to keep things spicy. And bringing in a guy like Kenta, not just, you know, a performer himself being able to exist on the roster and do cool things, but what he may be able to pass on to the next generation of guys and even the people who are there, every little bit that they'll be able to pick up from someone different is going to help and make things better. So there's nothing but good things to come out of this.
You want a spicy Japanese wrestler? Curry Man.
Hey, that's a trick that I would have made.
Curry Man was the shit, all right?
Well, no, Daniels is available now.
Insert joke about Curry Man being the shit, given the shits. All right, moving on here before I make another terrible one to follow that up with. We have three other hot tags. WWE Network is going to have a new show called Rivalries, which is basically, it seems like going to be another one of those retrospective looks at different feuds and stuff. And they had a big list of everybody, and you know, a lot of the ones were the ones that you kind of expected. Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. I think Austin and The Rock were on there. Undertaker, Kane, you know, the standard kind of stuff. I like these kind of things, but at the same time, I don't go out of my way to watch them, because if you've already seen them and you're kind of busy, then there's sort of no point, no time to do them. So that applies to Countdown and WrestleMania Rewind and Beyond the Ring and a lot of that kind of stuff. But hey, if they can build another show around that concept and they can make it different enough, cool. Why not? Seems like Legends House is really the show that's doing the best most recently. And I guess that's because it's something different, but who knows, maybe that'll be a good one too. Miguel, what do you think about Rivalries?
I've heard a lot of good things about the Rivalries DVDs that they've been putting out, so if this is just going to be an extension of that, I'm all for it. You know, I know it's going to be mostly kayfabe, but from what and I haven't seen them, I really should, because I think they are on the WWE, they were, I don't know if they're still on Netflix, but I know that they usually have the two guys there talking back and forth between one another, so there might be some good moments there. In terms of the WWE Network, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I saw something about that. Did they say that they're bringing Total Divas over to the network as well?
I don't think I've come across anything like that. They might do like replays of the last season or something like that. I don't think that they can do the actual show itself.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I think I might have seen a press release, that same press release saying that Total Divas was on the docket to be brought over to the network, and I'm not sure what that says about their deal with E, if that's just going to be reruns or the new season or whatever, but I just figured that's worth mentioning. But yeah, in terms of Rivalries, in a once-in-a-while special where they do what they did for the DVDs, I'm all for it. It gives us some pretty solid content for the network, which they really do need.
Wego?
I don't really watch the network other than pay-per-views. I suppose they kind of need it, since they've only got so much content out there outside of pay-per-views. So, awesome for the people that watch the network on a regular basis, I guess.
Jester?
More content's good. There's definitely no negatives to more content. Whether you'll watch it yourself or not is kind of irrelevant. If there's people out there that want to see that, then that's good. It sounds interesting. I might watch an episode or two.
Baden?
The original Rivalries DVD they made with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart is one of my favorite things they've ever produced. And if they're going to follow it up with that, that's fantastic. But if they're dropping what was supposed to be a continuous series with that and just doing something else that's going to be cheesy and lame, I have no interest. The initial DVD they did with those two guys sitting there, Jim Ross as the moderator, and Miguel said he thinks it's going to be kayfabe. Actually, that DVD dropped kayfabe, I think, more than I had on pretty much most DVDs up to that point. Now they're doing lots of things where they're dropping kayfabe now they got the network up, so it's not as much of a thing. But on that, I couldn't believe how much behind the scenes lingo and events they were revealing on that DVD.
I think in the case of Michaels versus Brett, you kind of have to, considering how non-kayfabe that whole rivalry was. Like,
you're
you couldn't
wrong.
Like something like Rock versus Austin, I could see them maybe kayfabing that up a little bit, but there was no way you were going to do that with Michaels and Brett. There's no way they would allow that to happen.
You're not wrong there. Absolutely. I would like them to keep that approach while they're going through, even if they bring more kayfabe into it. I mean, if you're doing something like a Mankind Undertaker, obviously you're going to have to keep things pretty kayfabe with that one, even if you would do one like that. I don't know. I would give it a chance. So far, I've been pretty happy with all the original series they've been bringing on the network. Legends House has been cool. Countdown is okay if you need something to throw on while you're doing something else in the house. I love the Legends Roundtable. Some of the specials they've been doing, like the Daniel Bryan Journey to WrestleMania and the Warrior Tribute documentary they did, have all been absolutely fantastic. So I'll keep an open mind with it.
That was good. I watched that Daniel Bryan one. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And Legends Roundtable stuff is always cool. So I'll give it a shot, too. Why not?
I've always had an idea for a show that they could do on the network. Kind of like a WWE version of Deadliest Warrior, where they take a guy from the past and a guy from the present that are similar, and maybe have a bunch of like the backstage guys talk about who they think would win, you know, comparing move sets. I mean, it would be kayfabe, but I think it'd be pretty awesome.
They actually used to do that exact thing in the WWE magazines. Like, not like the more recent ones where it got, like, really kiddish and stuff. And I've seen some, like, more recent WWE magazines. I'm like, oh, God. But, like, when I was younger, I used to get those, like, crazy. And they actually had a segment every month where they would ask superstar of the past versus a superstar of the present. There was a few. There was, like, I remember Brock Lesnar versus Batista was one. It was, like, a few years after Lesnar had already left and was, like, the height of Batista's, like, main event status kind of thing. And there was Randy Savage and RVD. It was like just like different ones like that. It was really cool. It was like literally that exact same concept. They would like break down their move sets and everything. So it's kind of funny that you came up with similar.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But they'd be fucked if Orton was ever on there. Yeah, that guy's pretty good in comparison to Orton, but he can't shit in as many bags as him.
Maybe even tie that into whatever the latest WWE game is and do some kind of a simulation in the middle of it or something.
Yeah, that actually would be that actually could really work. In fact, I would love to see them, maybe if they do like their first episode, maybe they could finally do Punk versus Austin. That could be their first episode.
I don't know if they'll be rushing to do that one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Two other hot tags here. Rosa Mendez and Curtis Axel have named their finishers. There's a thing going out around now where WWE wants anybody who doesn't have a named finisher to start naming them. Rosa, I didn't even know she had a finisher, but apparently she's got some kind of a submission called the Rosa's Thorn. Obviously, got a pun there. And Curtis Axel named his horrible finisher the Axhole. My God, is it me fucking naming these things or what?
No, what finisher is that from McGillicuddy? Is that the swinging net breaker or is that the perfect plex? Which one is that?
I imagine it's the swinging net breaker since the perfect plex has already got a name.
Right, and there's no hole to it at all, but, you know, obviously...
The Campbell Clutch already has a name, and they're calling it something else.
Well, unfortunately, the original name he pitched to them, the Axe Licker, was poo-pooed by WWE Creative.
What's they going to say, though, when he hits it? Oh, that's a picture-perfect axe hole.
Right. Well, he's not going to hit the finisher. I mean, he doesn't win matches.
Is he going to hit the Axe Licker?
He went for an axe hole there, but he just couldn't quite do it.
It always sucks when you miss the axe hole.
He wiped the floor with that axe hole.
Oh God, and that really makes me wonder what the hell is going to be coming up with like the other people that don't have finisher names. Like, what are some of the people that are on the roster right now that don't have a finisher, or at least they don't have a name for it? I think Brutus Clay doesn't have one.
He still doesn't have a fucking name.
I think he gave it a name, didn't he?
No, really, had like a John Cena. Yeah, the move that beat John Cena, that's his name.
I still like John Bruce's comment that he had left when we were trying to think of names for that, the Inebriator. I still think that's fucking amazing.
Isn't he calling it Knee Plus? They just never say it on air.
Knee Plus, yeah, that's right.
You know what? Paige needs to come up with a better name for her finisher.
Yeah, the Modified Scorpion.
You could not call it the Modified Scorpion Crosslock. That just does not roll off the tongue.
I want to know what a normal Scorpion Crosslock looks like, if that's modified.
God damn it, Cole. She calls this the modified name of the move. Well, who else doesn't? Barrett has two names for his fucking finisher, so that covers that. Del Rio never gave a name to the Cross Armbreaker.
Well, that's what it's called. I mean, it's an armbar normally. It's a cross armbreaker when he uses it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could always go with whatever the generic name is, and then that's not, you know, the specific gimmick name that they're trying to go for with these.
Call it the Jobber Lock.
The Jobber Lock. I mean, Big Show's got, you know, his punch turned into the Weapon of Mass Destruction, and Cesaro's got the Cesaro Swing and all the new Neutralizer, but I don't know.
He needs a name for the European Uppercut. Or just the uppercut.
Yeah,
you just call it an uppercut? Mm-hmm.
Does Dean Ambrose have a name for his finisher, that DDT thing?
No, he doesn't.
All right, so needs that. And I think Rollins and if you're going so far as to want to name the spear, then Reigns needs some kind of a name for that, too.
I don't think they'll ever
fucking, Reigns. You could always have Seth Rollins' move called Avoiding the Bath.
It took me a second. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, the one where he jumps right in the air, it's perfect.
And our last hot tag for this week, WWE released 5 people from NXT Developmental. Mason Ryan, Raquel Diaz, Danny Burch, Oliver Gray, and Shara, I don't know, Sarah Bachman is her name. I obviously totally agree with the Mason Ryan thing. They tried and it didn't work. Raquel Diaz, she was in WWE before, and then they released her. They brought her back and released her again. I don't know what's happening there, but I doubt that she'll end up getting a third chance.
Wait, is that Vicky's daughter?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shaw Guerrero. She left the first time. I think it was said that it was some kind of like an eating disorder, and they like let her go because she wanted to go. And this time, I don't know, but they did just have some kind of a photo shoot with her and Baron Corbin, where they're going to repackage him as like some kind of a biker. So I guess they decided, well, he doesn't need a valet if that was the case. I don't know who Danny Burch is, and I don't really know much about Oliver Gray, and I know nothing about Shara.
Oliver Gray was the NXT champion, Adrian Neville's tag team partner, back when they were still a tag team. Well, he got injured like a year ago. He got I can't remember what it was, but he had a really bad injury, and he's been out for basically a year now. He just recently came back, and I guess they figured he's been gone for a year. Nobody cares, and he's not really that good, so let's just get rid of him.
You see the guy that was he's like wearing a suit all the time and stuff. He kind of had a James Bondish thing going on.
I barely remember him, to be quite honest. I just know that he used to be Adrian Neville's tag partner.
Well, any thoughts about the other guys, Miguel? And we'll move around in a circle again.
Mason Ryan, I'm kind of surprised that he's lasted this long. I mean, they tried bringing him up, it didn't work. And if he had any sort of potential, they would have brought him back up again. He's just been kind of just doing nothing in NXT, so maybe he'll continue on to wrestle. I mean, Global Force Wrestling needs a champion, so we'll see about that. Shaw Guerrero, I never got the sense that she was ever going to be much. I think they just kind of signed her on because she was a Guerrero, and maybe there was a lineage there, but obviously that wasn't the case. And the other people, I really don't have much to say.
Way to go.
I don't really have anything to say about these guys getting released. They're kind of all nobodies. I just kind of laughed at Mason Ryan.
Jester?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. Like, no one's going to miss any of them. And I'm really, really glad Mason Ryan never worked out because he was really boring.
And Peyton?
You know, I'm going to be the person who's going to come to his defense here. I think they could have done a lot better with Mason Ryan. That first night when they had him debut as part of the new Nexus, I was impressed. I mean, not like, holy crap, this guy just did the coolest thing in the world, but this guy was enormous. He had a cool look to him. He looked like a Spartan gladiator. I thought it was neat. I think they just brought him up too soon. He was not ready to come up, and even over the years, he did not progress very well, so I certainly can't disagree with them releasing him, but you could have done something with this guy, and rather than bringing him up way too early, letting him embarrass himself, then having to bring him down and just let him do squash matches on your minor leagues for, what was it, like 4 or 5 years he was down there doing that. He should have just been like somebody silent heavy. You know, have him stand there, keep his arms crossed, look intimidating, and when he had to, just run in and knock somebody over. That's all you needed a guy like him to do. You try to put someone like that on their own, of course they're going to flounder. I don't know. It's past due in the sense that if they were going to keep him on the path they did, they should have given up sooner. But I honestly think they could have done better with a guy like that because he was a rare specimen.
All right, guys, tell us what you think about all these topics. And if you have any suggestions for what people should use for the finisher names out there in WWE or NXT at the same time, because they're pulling them for those people to name their finishers too, go ahead and leave a comment below. We're going to take a little bit of a break with the rest hold, and we're going to come back in part 4 and start talking about all of the Extreme Rules predictions. It's part 3, which means it's time for the rest hold part of the program, where we take a little breather and in the process promote some things going on for a Mango Tree affiliated projects such as Smark Out Moment and Smack Talk. The first bullet point, as always, is the Bleacher Report card. This week, since it's a pay-per-view, I'm going to be doing my normal post-pay-per-view stuff. One of them is Extreme Rules results, the biggest highlights and low points, and the other one is WWE Extreme Rules 2014 review of the biggest stars of the night. It's the same stuff that I usually do every pay-per-view, so if you like that stuff, go check that out. You can find links to those on the homepage of smarkoutmoment.com underneath the Bleacher Report card subcategory. You can also find it on Facebook and Twitter for all the accounts that are associated with a mango tree, except for Fanboys Anonymous. In the YouTube description, you're not going to see a link because it's not going to be up until after the pay-per-view is over with, and we're recording this on Wednesday night. But check out next week when I will have the link up on there, as well as possibly anything else that I write next week. Next up is Smark My Words, the comment of the week that you guys have left on YouTube. And this week it goes to Awesome Piano Man. Honestly, I throw those questions in for more discussion. I apologize that it may be a question no one cares about and too long to answer, but thanks to the panel for answering. On the contrary, Awesome Piano Man, we love these questions. The mailbag is actually one of my favorite things that we do each month, and the zanier the question, it ends up being the more fun. So, love these kind of suggestions that you guys throw out there for the mailbag. I love everything that's going on with that. Very much appreciated. And that brings up the monthly mailbag, which the next episode that we're going to do it on is either 131 or 132. I haven't quite figured out yet which one I'm going to end up doing, because I haven't figured out the special features yet. So we'll figure out what's going on with that, and I will let you guys know next week or the week after, depending on what it ends up being. Well, I guess I can't know the week after, because that'll be episode 131. I'll let you know next week, whatever we end up doing. That's a better way to say that. Fill up that inbox by sending a message through the contact form on the website. You can shoot us an email that way, and we will answer whatever you guys send our way, wrestling related or not wrestling related, whatever it happens to be. Send it in, guys. We'll answer it. Remember about the Sign Me Up initiative. If you bring a sign that says smarkoutmoment.com to any kind of a wrestling event and send a picture or a video of it to me, I'll feature it on the next episode of Smack Talk and on smarkoutmoment.com itself under the little Internet Wrestling Community Outreach subcategory. And then there's fanboysanonymous.com, my website dedicated to geek culture topics like comic books and movies and video games. So if you like that stuff, and if you want to know what we think about those topics, go to fanboysanonymous.com, as well as our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboysanon, A-N-O-N. Follow the Facebook and Twitter accounts, and pay attention to all the nerdy things that we have coming your way, such as a review of Amazing Spider-Man 2. We're going to be debuting commentary fan tracks later on this month for X-Men Days of Future Past. We're going to have another episode of the For Real Movie Club, and all sorts of stuff. And lastly, as usual, if you would like to join the Smark Out Moment team in some kind of a way, maybe as a writer or an editor, send an email using that same contact form as the monthly mailbag questions, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And we are going to come back in part 4 and start talking about Extreme Rules predictions. We're going to start off the Extreme Rules predictions with the pre-show match, and that means the WLC match between El Torito and Hornswoggle. If you checked out the predictions post on Smark Out Moment, you would see the entirety of this is just, ugh, and that is it. I have no faith in this match. Other people here have more optimistic points of view for it, but I think this is going to be a total train wreck, and I really don't know what else to say, but I will think it's kind of funny that if they bring out mini ladders and mini chairs and mini tables, maybe they can put them to good use and it can be kind of funny. But man, I've seen too much of both these guys to ever trust that it's going to be anything other than bad. El Torito wins, because why not? Payton?
I think this could actually be a sleeper. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You at least got to give him a small chance to do that. I mean, I think this is unique. It's something we haven't seen in a while. You know, the minis have come in and out of wrestling, were once a very integral part. I mean, before there was really cruiserweights, before there was even like women heavily in it, they had they had midgets. Let's not forget that wrestling is something that started in the world of carnies and circus freaks. So it's not out of its world to have midgets wrestle. So I think everyone is just being unfairly cruel and close-minded to it, and I think we should give these guys a chance, because El Torito, shit, is probably one of the most talented guys in the entire roster, some of the tricks that you see him pull off. And Hornswoggle's been apparently working out, and I kind of dig him being part of the three-man band, or the three-and-a-half-man band, or whatever they're calling them these days. So I'll give it a shot. You know, if they bomb, I'll say I was wrong, and they could give, you know, say they tried and drop this whole thing. But if it goes okay, I can enjoy a couple more matches out of these guys, as long as they're actual matches and not just quick tag, mixed tag matches on Raw like they've been doing. That's been getting annoying. But so we'll see what this one
is. Who are you going with, Torito or Dylan?
I think it's tough. I think Torito. Torito. Dirt. Elder. What the fuck is his name?
Dorito?
El Dorito.
I think the Bull may win if they plan on continuing with this, but I think at some point Hornswoggle's got to get a big win in this because he's got a movie coming out later this year.
Jester, what do you think about this match?
All right, first I need to know, is it like mini tables and stuff, like small, or like there are mini tables and mini ladders and mini chairs, like there are a lot of them?
Mini.
Is it like
M-I-N-I.
Lots or small? Small, okay. Like the people. Got it. All right. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, first of all, if this was like an actual ladder match, no one would win because they couldn't reach anything. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that 3MB's winning streak continues and Hornswoggle wins.
Drew.
And it'll be awesome and funny.
Well, hello everyone. There's only one word to say about this match. Ole!
Why'd you make a voice?
I didn't make a voice, I just said it.
So you're going with El Torito?
No, I'm going to go with Dylan. I'm just really excited for this. Listen, it's like this. This sounds stupid on like so many different levels, but honestly, this might be the most excited thing I am looking forward to this pay-per-view. And it's probably going to end up being stupid. And wait, Mango, you said that this was on the pre-show, right?
Right.
And if it does end up bombing, at least you can say, hey, it was on the pre-show. You know, you're not supposed to really expect too much out of the pre-show unless it's like a tag team match with the Usos or something like that. So, you know, I think this is going to be the most exciting thing that will happen on the card. Say, I'm going to go with Dylan because Dylan is the man. 5-star classic for 2.5 stars because they're mini.
Miguel?
You know what? I'm going to say it right now. This matchup could be a train wreck, but it could be a fun train wreck. I mean, one of my favorite matches is the Fish Market Street Fight from TNA, which is the Dudley's versus
the TNA. Or did he just vomit?
Yeah, no, he came. He loves TNA as much as I do. I can appreciate a good train wreck matchup if it's entertaining, and this one has the potential to really go the distance. I mean, these guys clearly know the kind of feud that they're having, so I think they're going to embrace that. I'm going to go with Torito winning, but I will say this. I am crossing my fingers for a big fall 4-table spot, because we always get one of those in a TLC matchup.
I wonder if they can pull that off.
Think about it, man. Hornswoggle going through 4 stacked mini tables. That would be pretty fun to watch.
They end up just being the same height as a normal table. Who are you going with, Torito or Hornswoggle?
I'm going with Torito.
All right,
I think they see more of a future in Torito than they do in Dylan. Not that I don't like Dylan. I think he's really won me over with this 3.5-man band gimmick.
Wiggo.
I think the best thing is that we're all actually just calling him Dylan and it's just stuck like normal. I don't know what to expect from this match, but I'm going to give it a chance just because, as much as I thought this whole thing's being stupid, part of me kind of enjoyed it. So I'll give it a chance, and I'm going to go with El Torito.
All right, so real quick, go around again. I'm going with El Torito. Peyton, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Dylan.
Dylan? Jester?
Dylan Swoggle.
Drew?
The D-Man.
Miguel?
Torito.
And Wego?
Torito.
3-3. Tell us what you guys think is going to end up happening in the comments below. We're going to roll on here. Part 5 with Alexander Rusev against R-Truth and Xavier Woods. Part 5, Alexander Rusev versus R-Truth and Xavier Woods in a handicap match. I don't really think this is going to be that good, but it's something that they're going to use just for filler, so why not? They've got a lot of matches on this card now that just kind of popped up out of nowhere. And I still think that the Usos could have deserved being on this card in some fashion, but they felt that it's more necessary to get Rusev to squash two people at the same time who don't really matter that much. Blah. Rusev clearly wins, and I'm assuming that he gets the accolade on MarTruth. Why not?
Who's MarTruth?
MarTruth. I would be more interested in MarTruth at this point than R-Truth. All right, Peyton, who's winning here? What do you think's happened during the match?
I'm going to agree with you. This is just an exhibition match for Alexander Rusev to show off his thighs. I'm going to disagree with you, though. I think he's going to win via an accolade on both of them.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a twice baked potato in that situation.
It's going to be the... It's gonna be... I'm just picturing that, like, a person-on-person-on-person... camel clutch. That's like the human centipede of wrestling maneuvers.
That's Miguel's favorite movie. Fun fact for everyone out there.
Oh, screw you! I hate that movie. That movie's
no, you love the second one better. That's right. I forgot about that.
They made a sequel.
You like
no, they're making a third one. They're making a third one actually. There's gonna be 500 of them that make a centipede.
Yeah,
out
Drew's
of.
Taking me to that one. The third one.
The human millipede. Any other thoughts you want to throw out there, Peyton?
No.
Jester, is MarTruth going to get this win, or what's happening?
Well, I think Rusev is going to win, but only because he has the financial backing of a Mr. Donald Sterling.
Of what?
Good. He's making a Clippers joke. It's a racist guy.
The racist guy. They don't want black people in the WWE.
Oh, he's not going to be. Not going to be a fan of Miguel.
Just move on.
Drew.
You know, there's only one good thing about this match that we get to see Lana, and that's about it. I'm going to go with Rusev winning, and I'm going to go with the Mike Payton route, and I'm going to go with, not the route to the potatoes, but I'm going to go with a double clutch on both of them. That's the stuff Rusev does.
You're about that life, huh?
Dude, I am about that life.
Miguel, who's winning here?
I'm going to win because I'm going to get points because Rusev wins this matchup. And I double win because not only that, I get to see Lana.
Shut up, Mickey. Just say who wins.
It's going to be Rusev, obviously. Although, I me bragging right now, I'm guessing probably R-Truth is probably going to end up winning.
Yeah, no, Lana's going to win.
I'd be fine with that.
She's the best person on this whole panel of group, people for this match. She's going to get the most attention at the very least.
Yeah.
What is the thing that she said? Does anybody actually know what it is? Because I just kind of assumed it's like M-N-Y.
Menye, I think it is. It roughly translates to attention, please.
Or rejoice.
I don't speak Russian or Bulgarian or whatever.
The Ravishing Russian. Now, that's such a good name for her.
That is a good name.
I like it. You know, do you think they give that to like... a male star, you know, a sexy, you know, some gimmick like that from overseas, but you know, like
stop Lana. Dreaming, Drew.
Lana Lord looks at like, yeah.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
I'm talking about the Ravishing Russian sounds a lot better.
I'm calling it right now. I think she's going to be the breakout star out of this whole thing.
Okay, we should probably.
No,
right.
I'm serious.
I know you're probably right. That's the thing. R-Truth is going to be the breakout star out of this whole thing.
Nah, Consequences Creed, man.
MarTruth. Wago, your thoughts on this match?
I think Rusev and Spud need to team up and be a team potato.
What were some of the puns that we were doing after the Raw post show? We said he doesn't get a hot tag, he gets the hot potato.
If he gets high, he gets baked.
That, instead of saying crush him, she's going to start saying mash him.
Somebody needs to make a sign like that.
Even something was scalloped. I don't remember what it was.
Well, then we just started singing his theme song, like twice baked potato, delicious potato, potatoes not rotten.
He's a potato. This is a potato. Twice baked potato, scalloped potato. So, if you have any freedom fries jokes or something like that, Rusev, leave those comments. But any other
Alexander Rusev.
Oh, that was another one. You said instead of a russet potato, the Rusev potato.
Yeah. We really just go off on a tangent about fucking potatoes.
Yes, we do.
It's a lot better than this fucking match.
I must have missed something on Monday. Shit.
You did. It was fun.
I was at the Pacers game. It wasn't. That was. That's. Awesome. That was something.
It's a Pacers game. What do you expect?
It's better than fucking TNA. I'll tell you that much.
I don't know much about the Pacers, so I was just dicking around.
So wait,
I'm not dicking around.
So Jester, are they a good team or what?
They're the best team in the East. Can we just talk about wrestling?
So I think that Alexander Rusev will win.
I agree.
Hey,
we're all going with Rusev here. Any other last thoughts from anybody?
No, that's all.
All right, next up, we are going to stop the potato talk, and we're going to start talking RVD, Cesaro, and Swagger in part 6. RVD, or Van Damme, against Cesaro and Jack Swagger has been announced. And it seemed like that was pretty much a done deal when they started mixing these guys up together. I think that they missed an opportunity here. They could have just not done the singles matches between Cesaro and Swagger on Raw and SmackDown, a main event and all that, and they could have had this actually on the pay-per-view, just the two men, and moved RVD into the mix or done whatever they wanted to do after the fact. But I guess they just really don't think that much about Swagger, and they're going to make him lose here. He's going to either take a pinfall from RVD, or he's going to get fucked over and lose with Cesaro. And then they're just going to push him off to the side. Jack Swagger is meaningless in this. And Cesaro and RVD are going to feud after this pay-per-view, have some kind of a singles match at Payback if they don't just do that stuff on Raw and everything like that. I'm not really looking forward to this match. It's a standard mid-card kind of thing. Maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't. It really kind of all depends on how much it revolves around RVD. And you guys should know by now my thoughts about RVD matches, so I don't really need to repeat myself more than I have before. So I'm going with Cesaro winning here, pinning Jack Swagger, and I think it'll be one of the worst matches of the night.
Mango, it's as if you mention this every time you mention RVD's name. It always goes...
Maybe.
No, this is what you do. You go, I don't know if you guys know this already, but you're like Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. Like, did you know that my client, Brock Lesnar, broke the streak? That's what you are.
He did, though.
Maybe I should start every RVD thing with that. Peyton, what do you think about this match?
What you said. Shrug.
That was better than RVD's promos. Any other thing you want to add?
I'm sorry, I don't actually know how to say any words.
You just let one Wall up, Street. That'll probably help.
Fuck Wall Street and move on.
Jester?
I don't know. It's a triple threat, right? Yep. It'll probably be fine. Depends on how much time they give it. A lot of Swagger Cesaro interaction would be better, just because they're the ones you've actually had some history. I was kind of hoping with having them break up at WrestleMania that they'd actually make a feud out of it. I don't know why RVD's just kind of randomly slotted in there. I guess because he has nothing to do. I think it would have been better to have like a triple threat with RVD and Barrett and Big E for the Intercontinental title, and just had Swagger and Cesaro. But I don't know. I guess Cesaro should win. Cesaro pins Swagger, like you said.
You know what? I think it actually might be an elimination match.
Is it an elimination match?
It might be. If it is, then my whole one pinfall doesn't work either.
Cesaro still wins, but
yeah,
the order's different or something. I don't know. Who cares? Cesaro wins.
Drew?
I'm a little bit higher on this match than you guys, mainly because I have confidence in RVD to have a good match.
Are
when
you higher on this
to?
Match because you got stuff from RVD?
No. I ain't about that life. But, but you know, when RVD is not... when RVD doesn't have like to put all the pressure on him to have a good match, I mean, he doesn't have to be in this match most of the time. He can just sit back, you know, go under the ring, smoke a good joint, you know, and then get back in after that. You know, when that stuff gets into play, you know, he can have a good match. He just doesn't need to do that much. So I think this match will be a good match. I don't know how good, but I can promise you one thing. It will be above average. So If it is the elimination style, I think RVD will win eventually. But Cesaro is going to pin Swagger, and then RVD is going to pull out the 5-star frog splash and pin for the win, because that's just what RVD does. He wins.
Miguel?
You know what? It's unfortunate that they're bringing RVD into this. I do think that there is a lot of legs in the Swagger versus Cesaro feud going on. Honestly, I actually thought the opposite early on. I was actually excited to see RVD feuding with Swagger, not Swagger, Cesaro, just so that they could play off of the whole Paul Heyman association. But it sounds like Swagger and Cesaro are on a collision course. And honestly, I don't know if I'm the only one that's noticed it, but it seems like RVD just isn't on par with his old wrestling style. Like, it seems like all his timing is off a lot in some of these matches, and you could tell sometimes that it's just not working out. And I don't know whether that's just RVD finally reaching his age or what, but to me, he's just going to kind of be in there and get the pinfall. Well, so I was going to go with RVD.
Way to go.
I'm glad RVD's in this match, just because I think a Swagger versus Cesaro match will absolutely suck, because I find Swagger incredibly boring no matter what he's doing. So, yeah, I think RVD's going to take this. I think it'll be some interaction between Swagger and Cesaro, and then RVD jumps in with a frog splash for the win.
This all birthed out of the Intercontinental Championship tournament, and the next segment that we're going to talk about is the finals of that, the Big E and Bad News Barrett match. Big E is going to defend the Intercontinental Championship against Bad News Barrett, and he's going to lose that Intercontinental Championship to Bad News Barrett. I 100% expect BNB to win here, and I think that this could be one of the better matches of the night. I think this is really going to be a bad spot for Big E, because he's not going to get that good of a reaction and lose the title all in one shot. Hopefully that doesn't completely derail his career and they can pick back up where they left off somewhere down the line. But Bad News Barrett's going to get a huge push out of this. At least I hope he will, instead of getting that curse of the championship, where right after that, then they start making him job out all over the place. But I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to a new champion. Looking forward to Bad News Barrett doing some kind of a Bad News promo ahead of time or afterward. I don't know, whatever the case may be. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. So what? Starting off with Peyton.
Yeah, I don't think that Big E has a snowball's chance in hell with this one. Long live Bad News Barrett.
Jester?
If you think Big E's going to keep the title, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
God, do it with some chutzpah.
I don't know what that crap means. Was that?
I'm afraid of Big E.
I'm afraid I've got there. Some Samuel Shaw.
I just want to kill myself.
let me do it.
Barrett's going to win.
If you're expecting... fuck it.
If you're expecting Mike to finish this, then I
don't feel like doing it.
God, you cared even less than I did. Barrett's gonna move on.
That's yeah, how bad you was. You killed.
It's not even worth it. Yeah, I honestly forgot who the Intercontinental Champion was.
Well, I did too. Biggie. I had to ask that a couple weeks ago. I said, "Who is the Intercontinental Champion anyway?" Like while the tournament was going on, like who are they gonna face at the end of this? I don't know.
Drew.
Yeah, I feel bad for Big E because they literally did nothing with him after he won the title. And I think this is it for Big E, honestly. I don't think they can really do much of him anymore, which is a shame because I think he is a talent that could be used. But I just don't know what they could do with him now. I blame it on his theme music. Okay, as soon as they changed it and took out the bass, they fucking... That ruined him for me. That was the only reason why I liked him, was his music. But at the end of the day, at least Bad News Barrett will be getting his title back for the fourth time, I believe, or something. I don't know. And hopefully good things happen this time, unlike the past 12 times they said that he was going to get a push, and he didn't. So, you know, hopefully sky's the limit.
I was going to say, haven't we learned with Wade Barrett by now not to get excited about the potential of him actually getting a push?
Well, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania, he got this big reaction. I was just like, God, it's just that Raw after Mania reaction. But, he's over with the crowd somewhat now, which, I do think that's good.
I think that's the main difference. I think before it was like them wanting Barrett to be successful, and now it's more of a the crowd actually gives a shit about him this time, so maybe they'll actually let him get somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, but then the fan, once he actually gets a push, the fans will be like, oh, eh, fuck Barrett.
Well, you know, Braden used to say, you know, they actually hate Wade Barrett.
Right.
No,
they hate
no,
the
except, oh, that's a stupid Irish England thing. That was a stupid argument.
Braden's Canadian.
Right. Miguel, who's winning here?
What was the matchup in question? I zoned out a bit.
Big E versus Bad News Barrett.
The IC title matchup. I think, yeah, Big E versus Barrett's for the IC belt.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, right? I'm going with Wade Barrett. He's on a hot streak right now. The fans are starting to really get into his whole bullhammer gimmick, the whole Bad News thing. I think Big E is in a bit of a slump right now. I could see him kind of going on a small mini streak until they figure out what to do with the guy, which is unfortunate because, you know, we were all really high on him when he first started, and he's just kind of fallen off a cliff since getting the IC belt. I don't know if you can really attribute it to the actual IC title, you know, how they've been jobbing people with that belt up like crazy, but for all intents and purposes, yeah.
It's because they changed the theme music.
They added more of Wago's mouse clicks.
Yeah.
in any event, I'm going to go with Wade Barrett on this one. I think he gets the IC belt.
Wago.
Well, I think that...
Hey, you're playing Big E's theme.
Wade Barrett takes this, and rightfully so. Big E's been kind of a failed project, and not because of his fault, but just because WWE does this, they get high on a guy, and then they drop him. So it's time for Wade Barrett's turn, and then they'll drop him in a few months' time, because that's what they do.
Bad news, Wago.
Oh, it's depressing news, Wago.
It's depressing news, Wago. I've actually got a mallet at work, and I might engrave depressing news, Wago, and keep it here for podcasts.
The gavel.
Mallet.
Gavel.
All right, guys. Is Bad News Barrett going to win the title? Is it a mallet or a gavel? Tell us what you think in the comments below. We're going to move on to part 8, the Divas Championship, Paige versus Tamina Snuka. Divas Championship, Paige defends the title against Tamina Snuka. This is going to be really one of the first times that people will get to see Paige wrestle somebody who knows how to wrestle a little bit. Because I think she's only wrestled, Oksana? And maybe Rosa?
And AJ.
That was
a real match.
Yeah, she got her ass kicked and got botched her own finisher to win the match. So, obviously, Paige has to win here. I mean, if she loses to Tamina and drops the title, that's going to kill all of her credibility. I don't know if she's going to do her finishing maneuver, if she's got a name for the finisher maneuver at this point yet. I can't see her doing that, though, so I think she'll hit the Paige Turner, and that'll be the way that she beats Tamina. And this could be decent for a Divas match, or it could be just as bad as it normally is. I don't think it's going to be necessarily good, but I'm going with Paige. Payton?
Yeah, it's pretty much a guarantee that Paige will be walking out with here. Tamina... I'm surprised she's gotten the exposure she has the last number of months being the heavy for AJ Lee. But now that AJ Lee is gone, I think they pretty much just put Tamina in there as her steady because AJ Lee can't be there for her rematch clause that every champion gets for some reason. This is just to be an exhibition for Paige to go out there, show off what she's got, a better opponent for her to go out there with than Alicia Fox. I think we'll continue seeing this rain going throughout the rest of the summer. And at the soonest, I think we'll see true competition truly pop up for her from other NXT stars starting around Survivor Series.
Jester?
Ditto what Mike said. This is like a really lame duck pay-per-view. Like, not a single match that has been said so far is, like, remotely interesting.
What about the WLC match?
Besides, the WLC match is the best match I have heard so far, and that's really sad.
it's going to be the best match I've ever heard.
Paige definitely wins. She actually just got stripped of her NXT women's title, so I can't imagine them having her lose the Divas title, since the point of her losing the other belt was she wouldn't be able to defend both. So I can't imagine they would have her drop this one, too. If anyone was going to drop the belt to Tamina, it would have been AJ. So Paige wins. Duh.
Drew?
Yeah, this is a match. I think it's going to go 5 minutes. I think it'll be okay. Above average. And I think Paige is going to win.
It's going to go longer than Drew can.
Yeah, probably.
Miguel?
In terms of the, we're talking about the Divas matchup, right?
Oh, shut up, Miguel.
No, I lost track of where we were at.
Stop spacing out.
I'm sorry, dude.
I quit doing your Drew impression. Let's go.
All right. I'm looking forward to this. I'm more and more getting into the whole Paige thing. I wasn't really into her when she first came in, but I think she's really embracing this direction her character's going into. It's obvious that she's going to win unless they decide, yeah, we're going to continue with the plan we originally had, which was to get the belt on Tamina eventually. But I think this is just going to be there just to show off Paige's skills. And I'm considering how big Tamina is, I'm curious to see how she locks in her modified Scorpion Deathlock or whatever it's called.
Crosslock, I think.
Crosslock.
Sting reference.
Oh, it's obvious he's gonna be debuting on the pay per view.
During this match, yes, during the Divas match.
Sting's gonna come and win the Divas Championship from Paige.
Just the lights go out and he's just pointing a bat at Tamina. Like, why?
Here's the next episode: Belt or Bury Sting. Should he win the Divas Championship or not? Wego, your thoughts on this match?
I think it's do or die for Paige. I think they're throwing her in with someone that can actually go, and she better perform good, or it's not a good sign for her. I mean, she's being brought up to the roster early. Well, I personally think she deserves to be brought up, but obviously she was only brought up because AJ is going on hiatus. So it's time for her to prove herself. So I look forward to it and expect her to win.
All right, we're all going with Paige here, and we're going to move on to the next part. Part 9, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in a steel cage. Steel cage match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Obviously, this is supposed to keep out the other members of the Wyatt family, which means that they guaranteed will get involved at some point, because that always fucking happens in these steel cage matches. Maybe all the kids will come down and just jump on a fucking cage and take it down and do it that way. I don't know. Awesome promo this week on Monday Night Raw that really put a lot more oomph to this feud. So I'm more excited about it now than I was beforehand, which is exactly what they should have done. And I really, really, really hope that Bray Wyatt wins this. If he doesn't, then God damn it, he should have won at WrestleMania. And I'll be really annoyed about that. John Cena stands to gain nothing by winning this match, and Bray Wyatt has everything to lose by losing. So I think that would be a terrible mistake if they don't have him either pin John Cena in some kind of way where he doesn't look so fucking cheap. Because if they have everybody interfere and John Cena had the win completely won and, you know, Luke Harper comes and causes some kind of interference or whatever like that, then that's not going to help Bray Wyatt out as much as he needs. Bray Wyatt needs to look good here. I hope that he will. I think that I'm going to be disappointed and John Cena's going to win, but I hope it goes to Bray Wyatt. Peyton?
I'm in the same boat as you. I think that this is a must win for Bray Wyatt. You cannot take 2 pay-per-view losses in a row to John Cena. All that bullshit about someone could look good in defeat. Yeah, they can, but not here. Bray Wyatt has to win. If he doesn't, then I would say the next route is for them to start teasing dissension in the group, because there's nowhere else for them to go if this character cannot get a big win like that. If he does, however, that solidifies Bray Wyatt going throughout the next year. Easy. So if they make that mistake, which I really hope they don't, I'll be disappointed. But there's no reason not to. You have bigger matches on the card where you can easily hide a John Cena loss. He's at a point in his career where losses really don't freaking matter. I know they don't like having him lose, but no one's really going to look down on John Cena for having a loss to Bray Wyatt. It'll be fine. So I'm pulling for Bray Wyatt, but I do have that, you know, little feeling in the pit of my stomach that, you know, lol, Cena wins.
John Cena sucks. Jester?
That whole story we're talking about where, you know, John Cena doesn't need to win, and if Bray Wyatt loses, he has everything to lose, but John Cena has nothing to gain. Sounds a lot like the story we were hearing right before WrestleMania. And we had a John Cena victory there. And I'm with you. I'm 120% pulling for Bray Wyatt. Huge Bray Wyatt fan. I do think he gets the win here. I can't see any logical booking reason for John Cena to win. In the last couple years, Cena's taken these kinds of losses on pay-per-view. You know, he's not that invincible golden goose that just could not lose. But I do not think there's a chance in the world Wyatt wins clean. It has to be a Cena's climbing out of the top of the cage, Wyatt's come in, stop him from getting out, beat him up, Wyatt, the combination of Bray and Wyatt, you know, Wyatt hits his finisher, pins him. Can you win this by pinfall? Is that, or is it one of those, like, you have to get out of the top?
Yeah, they make it up as they go along.
Well, whatever, Wyatt wins, but Cena's going to have the match won, and the other Wyatts are going to stop him from winning. I guarantee there's no way Bray just beats Cena. It just won't happen. And they'll probably feud for another month, and then Cena will win that, and then it'll be over, and people will remember Wyatt in a few months as, like, the guy who kind of made Cena scared and sometimes gave him a challenge and beat him in a cage match, and that'll be it. It won't be like, oh, Bray Wyatt dominated John Cena, and he's a legitimate superstar now. No, we can't have that, so...
No, Jester, the way you gotta win, you gotta go through the door. That's how you win. You gotta skip via door.
Someone has to literally throw you through the door.
Yep.
Drew, what do you think's happening?
I like how WWE listens to me when I said this should have been the steel cage match, because I remember we were talking about it a while back.
Yes, they listened to you. They specifically said, Drew said this, we're gonna do this.
Dude,
you know what? Why do you think? Fucking pissed off, because that's a fucking horrible idea.
I said it just to say it, because it made sense at the time. I don't really agree with the steel cage idea, but what else are you really going to do that would not revolve around Wyatt's family interfering in the match? Because if there's no steel cage, they're just going to get chairs and just beat the shit out of Cena with them.
I would have won that. That would have been cool.
It would have been cool, but you know, WWE's not going to do that. So this isn't the Nexus. I mean, come on. So it's, you know, I'm not like Jester and Peyton, where I do have confidence that Wyatt's gonna win. I don't think that they're dumb enough to have Cena go over Wyatt twice like this, because they're trying to build Wyatt as his heel, and you know there's not many heels left in the company, so you might as well have one heel if you're gonna have any. So I do have confidence that they're not gonna screw Wyatt Bray over like this. And I do think he's going to win. Whether he wins clean or not, I'm 50-50 about. But I'm going to go with he's going to get a clean win on this. I don't know if the match will be good. I mean, it's probably going to be more of a psychology type of match than an actual wrestling maneuver type or technical type of match. But I am looking forward to this. This is one of the matches I'm more into than the, let's say, Divas match, for example.
Here we go.
I think Peyton pretty much mimicked all the sentiment that I could. I mean, it's do or die for Bray. If he loses, he's pretty much done, in my opinion. He's got to get his win back. So I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt on this one. And I do admit there is a chance that there will be shenanigans involved.
Somebody's got to get their broom. Mm-hmm. Lego?
Okay, Jim, as far as this whole feud goes, John Cena can win the war, but Bray's got to get a win over him at some point. And there's no reason they can't drag it out for another month. Bray Wyatt needs to win here. I don't care if it's clean. I don't care if it's dirty. He just needs the win. If he beats him clean, awesome. If Cena's trying to climb the cage and Harper and Rowan throw children at him and knock him off, so be it.
Yeah.
No, I really want that to happen.
That'd be irony, honestly.
But the way I see it going down is the whole point this cage is here is so Bray Wyatt can win without pinning Cena.
Now, I have a question. You think that promo they did on Monday with, like, the kids coming out and they were singing the song, do you think they could have done that, something like that here and it would have been better?
Mm. Nah, it's good that they put it on Raw to build up to this match. I think if you did it on the pay-per-view, it would have gotten lost.
Okay, yeah, okay. Because I thought that would have been kick-ass if, like, just randomly just a bunch of kids are out there like, oh, shit.
The kids surround the cage.
Yeah,
they just go out. They come on, and the kids are just all around the cage with the sheet masks. That should be a part of Wyatt's gimmick for like a month. They should just constantly be there at matches. Just like
same kids.
It actually makes more sense. Actually, makes more sense to do it after the promo. If they had done it before the promo, it would have had no context and be like, "Huh, bunch of children."
Yeah, exactly. No, Wiggo's right. Just have the promo first, and now just constantly have children surround the ring during all of the Wyatt family's matches. That would be so cool.
Imagine how tough that would be to try to get them when they do the lights go out and you have to like run really quick to get out of the point of view.
Some kid falls down, scrapes his elbow, cries, I need a Band-Aid!
Well, you're not coming back again. You can't take this. You're not tough enough.
You tell that little fucker sneeze. Don't sneeze around me.
Listen, we already have kids here. Dylan! All right. We have two more matches left to do. The Shield versus Evolution is coming up in the next part, part 10. Then part 11, we're going to do the WWE Championship match. And then we're going to finalize this episode with some Fantasy League talk. All right, now it's time for pretty much the best selling point of this whole pay-per-view, Evolution versus Shield. I still don't think that they've said what type of a match this is. I think they're just going with another plain Extreme Rules match, which, god damn it, that's so stupid if they do that. Where
it's the
every
only kind
match,
of Extreme Rules match that flies.
Like, why only have the Steel Cage match and normal No DQ matches? If that's all they're going to do, they couldn't have thought of anything better for any of these other fucking matches. Then that's ridiculous. Just get rid of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view if you're not going to put in the effort. WLC and Steel Cage are not good enough to build a pay-per-view around where everything's supposed to have a gimmick to it. But still, this should be the match of the night. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a potential match of the year. And I think that Evolution is going to win here. I think you can drag this out for quite a while, and you need Evolution to get some kind of a schmoz-ending bullshit maneuver with a referee, or they cheat, or maybe some other people come down. They've been doing a big thing with 11 people versus the Shield, so maybe a lot of people will interfere. Whatever the case may be, Shield should look strong here, but come up short. Payton?
I think this is a one and done, and I would expect the Shield to come up on top.
You don't think they're going to keep this going?
Nope. Nope. At most, maybe they'll have, like, Triple H continue messing with the Shield, but I think Randy Orton and Batista are going to get frustrated and continue going their own ways.
Just for shits and giggles, who do you think that they're going to feud with afterward if that's the case?
Randy Orton and Batista?
Mm-hmm.
Why not each other?
Who's going to be the face? Or do you not even
no one needs to be the face.
Yeah, I don't think they need to be. I think the fans can choose who they want to cheer for.
Hmm.
When it comes to the legacy guys, I see that. I don't see them focusing on rivalries too much unless it's that's what they're leading up to for like a big pay-per-view.
Maybe.
Yeah. And that could even be like a slow build thing. They grow into SummerSlam. And then I would see Triple H and maybe like Roman Reigns be in a singles match for SummerSlam.
That's like the big rumored match right now for SummerSlam.
Hmm. That and something with Brock Lesnar. What was it? Brock and Bryan, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I don't read dirt sheets, so I don't know about that.
God, please,
it's made up
no.
in my head.
You know Brock is going to run through Bryan as soon as SummerSlam comes.
No, it's going to be like CM Punk versus Lesnar. It's going to be fucking unbelievable. Like, not believable at all.
Brock should run through Bryan.
I know, except they're not going to do that. They're going to make it like so make it look like Bryan has a chance when there's no way in hell in real life that wouldn't happen. That's why I didn't like the Punk match at all last year. It's fucking stupid. It was unbelievable.
Pro wrestling, you gotta suspend your disbelief, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, it's on Punk to make me do that, and he didn't. Yeah. And I don't think Bryan would either. There's no way you're gonna suspend my disbelief enough to think that a guy like CM Punk or Daniel Bryan could stand a chance with
well,
Brock
like a
Lesnar.
50,000-year-old Undertaker would have a chance against Brock Lesnar. Lesnar should have mauled him.
Here's the thing. It took interference from fucking Heyman for Lesnar to beat Punk too. That's the sad part about it. I remember that match. God, that was so stupid.
If it was real, Brock Lesnar would literally kill everyone in the WWE.
And Taker didn't really get a lot of offense on Brock Lesnar.
Well, you know,
he just survived a lot of it. Was more the story of that match.
Well, no, you know, he got that concussion. You don't know how that would have interfered with how they played out that match.
Mm-hmm. So you're going with Shield for this match, Payton?
Oh yeah, Shield.
Jester?
It's hard to make an actual prediction because I don't know. I've heard, like, Batista wants to take time off. I don't know how much time he's taking off. If he is taking time off, then I definitely think the Shield would win. Just because, what do they do with Evolution? Like, without Batista? Flair already blew him off. I know they want to try to drag it out to Triple H and Reigns at SummerSlam. I definitely could see what Peyton said being accurate. Evolution gets sick of it. Batista has something happen where maybe he takes the fall in the match and that's how he gets taken off TV for a while. Orton can go back to feuding with Bryan or something, and then Triple H can deal with the Shield. But I don't know. If it's going to be a long-term program, like Tony said, I could see Evolution winning. The other problem I have is I'm pretty confident Wyatt beats Cena. I'm pretty confident Bryan beats Kane. So I can't see the two big matches being Shield and Evolution and Bryan Kane and Wyatt Cena and Shield Evolution both having heels victorious, because everybody knows that the other match is going to go Bryan's way. So I just don't see it. I guess Shield.
Drew?
It's positioned weird. All the big matches have important, you know, the heels have to go over. So I just think it makes more sense for the Shield to win. That Batista thing's really what's swaying me over there, though.
Drew?
Yeah, you know, it just depends on what they want to do. If Batista, if he's leaving, then I think the Shield's going to win. But, you know, I'm going to agree with Mango. This is the potential to be the match of the year. I'm really looking forward to this match. And hopefully, you know, that is the case. It's just going to be a great match. I do have confidence that Evolution will win, so I'm going to go with them in this case. And I really hope that they could drag this out for a few months before Batista goes off and does his thing for a while, because this has the potential to be a really good feud between the two. And I hope that this isn't just a one and done.
Two for Evolution, two for Shield. Miguel, who's winning?
You know what? We're talking.
So where are you going with? Are you going with it?
TNA?
Sorry.
Eating those tacos?
No. Guys, you'll have to excuse me. I've been up all day doing errands and stuff, so I'm pretty much beat. In fact, I was going to do something after this with you guys, but I think I'm just going to pass out after this. if we're talking the main event, it's got to be the Shield. It's got to be, I think... you know what? No, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to go with Evolution just because I think the buildup is going to be to when wait. We're not talking about the main event, are we? We're talking about the Bryan matchup.
Evolution and Shield is where we're on.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, were you going with Evolution or are you going with Shield?
Drew, what are we really on? Like I said, guys, I really do apologize. It's been a long day for me.
We really are on Evolution versus Shield. Bryan and Kane is next.
Okay, then in that regard, I'm going to go with Evolution only because I think the Shield win is going to be what they build up to. So I'm actually going to take the high road. I'm going to go with Evolution.
And Wego?
I am going with Evolution, and I think they're going to drag this feud out for a while. With Evolution coming off WrestleMania all with losses, the Shield name, and the Shield looking stronger than ever, they can take a loss and they'll be fine. So... yeah, Evolution take this handily, and they might not feud every single month like at every pay-per-view, but eventually it's all going to build to a SummerSlam match.
Last match that we're going to talk about coming up in Part 11, Daniel Bryan versus Kane. The main event of the night, WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Daniel Bryan versus Kane. I'm not too thrilled into this match, but just kind of like the John Cena and Bray Wyatt one, they did a little bit extra to make me more interested than before with the past couple things that they've been doing. So, best case scenario, they end up having a decent match. I'm not looking for this to be a classic or anything. And it makes sense. I probably would have done the same thing if I were in creative, so I'll give them a little bit of leeway with that. Daniel Bryan has to retain 100%. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. And if this is the main event of the night as opposed to Evolution versus Shield, then that makes all the more sense because everybody can celebrate with Daniel Bryan. But then again, maybe people are going to celebrate more with the Shield. So who knows which one they're going to go with last. And I really hope that it is Daniel Bryan, because if they start this trend where what they did with John Cena and CM Punk, where Punk was the champion, but he was never the fucking main event, it always ended up going to John Cena, that's going to look bad on Daniel Bryan. So give it to him. Give him the win. Guarantee. Payton?
Yeah, this is just an opponent for Daniel Bryan to go through on the way to wherever the hell the end of his journey is going to take him. I equate this just to, you know, not to make another comparison of Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels, but when Shawn Michaels fought Diesel at In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies at the In Your House after WrestleMania, where he won the title. it was just his first opponent. They wanted to put him against someone big, kind of a monster, someone that has a little bit of a tenure behind them, someone that a victory over them would really legitimize them as champion and show that they can beat anybody. You know, maybe not, you know, name-wise, people are looking at Kane like, oh, my God, Kane, he's not on a level of John Cena, but Kane is the devil's favorite demon. He's the big red monster. He's a multi-time former world champion. Don't discredit a victory over him. It's still a big deal. So I think this will be cool. These guys should have a chemistry after being tag partners for a long time, and we never really got closure on that whole thing. So I think this is an excellent time for all those paths to come together and get that done.
Chester?
Oh, and Daniel Bryan wins. I didn't say that.
I feel like they're only bringing Kane up just to give Bryan someone. Like, even at WrestleMania, Kane was just not in a big position. You know, he was in that authority role. I think he spent like zero amount of the time in the six man tag he was in participating in. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of them randomly building Kane back up to have Bryan have a match with him. I guess they did a little more work recently to bring Kane back up to that level to add some intrigue to the match, but I don't know. It seems like a pretty obvious win for Bryan, and I'm not a big fan of when the whole pay-per-view already has this like thrown together feel. I'm not a big fan of a main event that's a one-sided obvious affair. I feel like the only match you've been worth looking forward to is Shield and Evolution, because it's the only match where you're not sure of the result. It was like I might have been the only match we were even split on. I think we all agreed on every single other match.
No, the WLC, come on.
Oh, WLC, sorry. But yeah, I've got Bryan, I guess. I won't really care.
Drew.
Shoot. You know, I'm actually looking forward to this match. I'm like, I don't know. I have confidence that this will be a good match. Word of the day is confidence, by the way. And I don't know. Hopefully this is good. I have confidence Bryan will win. God damn it. Fuck. Okay. And yeah, where the fuck is Big Show at?
Get his gun.
Yeah, you sound like you have confidence when you're talking, Just.
Well, I don't know.
Big Show is probably in that kind of lull where they don't have anything that they can plan for him to do, so why not just keep him off? And
okay, that's fine. Well, I hope Daniel Bryan wins. You know, he hasn't done much since he won the title, but you know, it's not his fault. You know, some things have gotten in the way. Hopefully, he can put on a good match right now. And you know, I know Kane and Bryan have had good matches in the past, so why not get to have a good one now? And go team.
You know.
Ooh, we go. Yeah.
I'm actually going to break from tradition. I'm going to say Kane wins this one. I think he takes the belt off of Bryan, and here's why. They really have nothing else for Bryan going forward.
Except for Kane.
Here's the thing, though. Bryan has been the most over in the chase. He's been the most over when he's chasing after the title. You know, he got his big win at WrestleMania, and that's all well and good, and he's had all this great stuff happen to him. But given that they really have nobody else that they could put against him going forward after Kane, I mean, what are they just going to do, have him beat up Kane every single pay-per-view?
He could face Orton. He has his rematch clause.
So you think Kane and Evolution and Wyatt are all going to win, and they're going to end this long, miraculous journey Bryan went on to win the championship, only for having him lose it to the guy who was the GM 3 weeks ago?
Well, keep in mind, they just had an angle where they broke his back. You know, he took three tombstone pile drivers, one on the one on the announce table and one on the steel
big
steps.
Down. He was wheelchaired. He was stretchered out of WrestleMania. Then he came back and won a match. I don't think that's a big deal. He wrestled with a bad shoulder. Like, that was the whole point. He overcame all this stuff. I don't think you realize what this stuff.
Stuff.
You know, God. And also they have like, you know, they have Orton that he could feud with. You know, if whenever Batista comes back, he could feud with him because Batista never got that one-on-one match that he wanted at Mania. You know, they could do that as well. You know, there's a lot of people he could feud with. Honestly, they could do a face-versus-face Daniel Bryan versus John Cena match if they really wanted to at one point, because they never really had closure from what happened at SummerSlam last year because Cena had to take time off.
Well, John Cena's going to be he's going to be taking out care of Bray Wyatt because he's got to get his
win. Oh, my God, that's down the line.
There are plenty of people they could just throw at Daniel Bryan if they wanted to. They could throw Rusev at him.
Honestly, you know, yeah, they could also – if they really want to, they could – They also put, I don't know, someone on the Shield against them. I don't know. They could do a lot of stuff with them, honestly, right now.
Listen,
there are a lot more intriguing feuds for Daniel Bryan than there are for Kane.
Yeah. All right, guys. Calm down, boys. Calm down, boys. I know you two loved it.
No, except what you're saying is stupid. There's someone for this thing, this guy who's been a GM for the past half a year is going to come back to wrestle just after he comes back as the Big Red Monster.
I love how this just turned in. Hey,
and he's
going to
win the title. That
you.
Makes no sense, Miguel. How the hell would that happen?
Yo, he's tired. Let him go.
No, it makes it makes perfect sense because.
Oh, you're right, Miguel. Yeah, that's Puerto Rican. I forgot. You're right.
What?
What the hell's up with you, Drew?
You really are grasping at straws at this point.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Yeah. what I'm trying to say is Brian is most over when he's chasing the heel. I mean, that's when a babyface is the most over.
But you
when
don't
he's.
Know. Because he just won the title, and he hasn't been on
Raw. Well, no, I get what Miguel is saying, but I don't know if Kane is that kind of heel that you want to have him chasing. You know, it was exciting because people like Randy Orton and Triple H were such exciting heels to see Daniel Bryan oppose. I don't know if people are going to get that behind Kane as the villain for Daniel Bryan to chase after.
Yeah, Orton and Triple H are, like, legitimate villains that people can, like, get mad at and want Brian to be. And like, Kane, it's like, well, we like Kane because he's, you know, he's cool. He's the Big Red Monster. Like, I don't care if he's a good guy or a bad guy, whatever, you know? Like, that's what it is with Kane. And, like, he's going to wrestle Brian, and all we care about is the closure with the Team Hell No thing. And Brian wins, and that's over, and then Brian fights somebody else. That's pretty much it. I don't think Kane is, like Mike said, is one of those heels that it's just... Oh, shit, well, that damn Kane, he took the title, and now I'm mad at Kane. You know what I mean? You
pulled a little Vince McMahon there.
Sorry.
All right, fair enough, then. Daniel Bryan wins.
No. You can say Kane wins. I just think it's stupid.
You're such a dick tonight.
He's on fire, apparently. He's taking advantage of the fact that I'm not all quite there right now.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Taking advantage of you while you're tired? Holy shit.
Yeah. That because that's how it works. all right, I'm gonna stick with Kane then. I'm gonna take the high road on this one. I'm gonna say Kane wins, and they're gonna drag this out all the way to however long they can drag it out. I mean, I can see Daniel Bryan getting the belt back is the thing. Like, so what if he loses this month? He can get it back next month. It's fine. He got his big win at WrestleMania. He got his comeuppance. You know, what does it matter if he loses the belt again just to get it back? Later down the line, if they keep the belt off of him and they transition the belt from like Kane to Cena, yeah, that would suck, but they're not going to keep him out of the title picture. He's going to get the belt back eventually.
I don't think they should be playing Hot Rusev with the title.
They shouldn't right now. They shouldn't, especially.
Did you say Hot Rusev or Hot Russo? Because that does that sounds like a
Hot
Russo
because he's a potato. Oh.
Ah, okay. I'm gonna go with Kane on this one, especially. Here's the thing, though. If this matchup goes on, if the Shield matchup goes on last, I could see them maybe having the Shield win. But if it goes, if this one goes on last, then yeah, maybe Daniel Bryan will win. But I'm gonna stick with Kane.
Oh man, Wago, you got that right when I was drinking something.
I wondered why you were choking.
Oh, that's the sound of Powerade coming right back up from a hot potato joke.
Powerade.
So Wago, who's winning here?
Daniel Bryan, because any other decision would be stupid.
That's all you had to say. That's all anyone had to say to Miguel. Just, no, you're stupid.
That's what I said. I said it was dumb.
You said other mean things.
Oh, jeez. All right. That wraps up Extreme Rules. We're going to do some Fantasy League talk in the next section, and that'll be it. Last bit of business to take care of. Fantasy League, give a little bit of update on what's going on with that kind of situation. So I'm going to pass this over to Payton. Payton, hit us with whatever it is.
Well, we are excited to be on the cusp of the second season of the Keeping Kayfabe and Spark Out Moment cross-brand fantasy league. We had our draft this past week, and we created our teams, six teams from six coaches. The season will begin this Sunday at Extreme Rules, where just like last year, teams will be gaining points via wins and losses. All the rules, all the specifics about that could be... gone into detail another time, or you could check it all out on keepingkayfabe.com. But what I'm here to tell you about now is who we picked for our teams. Let me tell you, there's some doozies here, folks. Let me go off with who had the first round draft pick. That was Mr. Drew White with the team that he calls the Drew Crew. Surprisingly to all, I think, maybe not, I guess depends on your viewpoint, the number one draft overall, was Roman Reigns. Interesting pick by Mr. Drew White. The rest of his team was rounded out by Batista, Sheamus, Nikki Bella, and Fandango. We head over to Mr. Steven Juego's team, or as he's calling it, Team Stoner. It's got John Cena in the first round, followed up by Randy Orton, Big E, Rob Van Dam, and Big Show. Next, we have Tony's Tykes, led by Tony Mango.
That is totally not the names. If you guys have any other suggestions, send them my way. They almost became the D-bags.
Well, until we get another suggestion, they're Tony's Tykes, so you better
they're Tony's Mangos.
Well, on that team, we have Daniel Bryan being picked in the first round, followed up by Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio, and The Miz. Yeah, explain that one. Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, what? Mostly a lot of people that I had last time around and fucking Del Rio. I don't know why. It's really, it's getting under my skin. I don't like it.
Tony, you do realize that losses actually take points away, right?
That's the bad thing. I'm rooting for Del Rio to lose for everything except my team, so don't be surprised if Del Rio gets booted off of Team Mango eventually.
Can we make it a rule that Tony can't get rid of Del Rio unless someone trades him? He'll never lose it.
Sold. That's the Del Rio law. And it's only Del Rio. Wherever Del Rio ends up, he's locked there for good. Next, we have Sean Walker's team. We don't have a name for them. Let's just call them the fucking wankers. Ray Wyatt in the first round, followed up by Seth Rollins, Luke Harper, Adam Rose, and Eric Rowan. That's right. All three members of the Wyatt family sitting on Mr. Walker's team. And, of course, his hero, Seth Rollins. So he's got to be
cool. Team, don't use soap.
I think that he went with Team Three Dongs, which means maybe there's a representation of the Wyatt family. I don't know.
Could be.
Team Three Dongs.
Oh, next we have Mr. Miguel Leon's team, or as he's calling him, Team Best for Business. In the first round, he picked up Alexander Rusev Potato, followed up by Jay and Jimmy Uso, the current tag team champions, and rounding it out with Cody Rhodes and Triple H.
Your team is awful.
That team.
Rusev
pick...
was your first pick.
That team is going to pick some points up in the early going.
Yeah,
it might fizzle out around the four, like in a 4 months' time. But right now, it's going to pick up some hella points.
Let me tell you, Miguel's in a better spot than he was last year when he picked his team like 2 months into the start of the league.
Right. What was it, like Rey Mysterio and Mark Roof?
At least I got to pick my team this time.
That was when I was crushing everyone and then Drew sabotaged my team and drove into the ground. I remember
to be
that.
Fair, that was when you got lucky and my Dolph Ziggler win didn't pan out.
I knew Del Rio would beat Ziggler for the title anyway. It didn't matter.
To be fair,
he got a lot. Anyway, we can debate about all that another time. We got one more team to go through here. My team, or as I'm calling them, the Ring Kings, beginning with Bad News Barrett, followed up by Cesaro, Bo Dallas, Paige, and the Ravishing Russian Lana.
I like the Ring Stink.
Believing.
Yeah, my team, as always, all about the future, and I can guarantee success with that.
You're going to definitely get appearance points for Lana.
Yeah, she's going to be appearing a lot. Do I get points for when she appears in my dreams?
Or anytime she comes into your head.
But yeah, that's the full roster. We have a nice, fun little graphic up on the Keeping Kayfabe Facebook page. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. So go ahead and check that out. See all the visuals of the team standing next to each other. I got to say, Tony's team looks like a bunch of pretty boys. Yell's team is awfully brown. And, yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Triple H is not brown.
Rusev is not a red potato.
That's bronze, man. I'm sorry, Tony, what was that?
It was another potato joke that Rusev was not a red potato.
Shut up.
Red potatoes are awesome.
They are. So that's what's going on right now with the Fantasy League. The point system is going to start racking up when Extreme Rules comes along on Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, yeah. It's when the fuck have they ever done a pay-per-view on a Saturday? So pay attention to that. Next week, we'll tell you guys who ends up starting with the ranks and everything like that. And now we're going to move on to some plugs. Time for the plugs, starting off with Wago.
All right, if you guys like anime, check out Addicted to Anime by going to facebook.com/addictedanimefans, and check out addictedanimefans.tumblr.com, and also check out our most recent episode on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, via the Mega Powers channels. And also check out Unanimous Decision MMA, udmma.com, facebook.com/udmma, and twitter.com/udmma.
UDMMA, Bueller.
Never going to live that down.
It's so sing-songy. Miguel?
Check out my radio show on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Untitled Movie Show every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. This past Tuesday, we did a Scream retrospective. It was myself and the usual suspects. We talked about all four of the Scream movies and kind of not so much ranked them, but we talked about our favorites and least favorites. And coming up, we're going to be doing a video games part two episode. A couple weeks back, we did a video games movies episode, but I wasn't a part of that episode. So this week, we're going to have me on there, and we're going to be able to finally get my opinion on movies based on video games. So it's going to be fun. Check it out. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock, the Untitled Movie Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Drew White.
Yeah, Jester's going to plug what I'm going to plug, so I'm going to let him do that plug. But just, you know, the Drew Crew, and that's all.
Jester?
All right, you can check myself and Drew White out on Sports Talk Weekly on Mega Powers Radio on our new night, Thursdays at 9 p.m. However, since the NFL Draft is next Thursday, instead of doing a show on Thursday, we'll be doing a special NFL Draft special this Tuesday night. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Talk Weekly, and you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sports Talk Weekly for more information.
And lastly, Peyton.
Hey, you, wrestling fans, you want to hear more awesome wrestling conversation? Join this crew every Monday night following the conclusion of Monday Night Raw on Mega Powers Radio for our Raw post show, where we give our live fresh thoughts about all the events that went down that evening, and most importantly, we invite you, the listener, to join the conversation. Yes, it's the most interactive post-Raw experience out there. It's not like Raw's Backstage Pass, where you just have little Twitter tickers going across the screen. Nah, it's bullshit. We allow you to call in on the phone, on Skype, and actually go in the chat room as well if you're a little shy. Give your opinions. We'll read them on the air. It's a good community thing going on there. It's lots of fun, so be there. Mondays after Raw, www.megapowersradio.com. And hey, while you're there, check out all the other awesome shows on there, like Sports Talk Weekly, as you heard, The Daceman Show, Addicted to Anime, and my brand new podcast that I just began, The Sand and Snow Podcast, featuring conversation all about the hit HBO series Game of Thrones. So if you're into dragons and rape and wieners, you'll enjoy that show.
That sounds like the best show.
Yeah. And call in and say however.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that'll do us in for episode 129. Thank you to everybody on the panel for joining in. Thank you to all of the listeners for checking us out and leaving all your comments for everything that we had for this episode. Next week, we are going to review Extreme Rules and talk about all the matches that happened, break them down one by one, and then after that, it depends on what we're going to do, but in the next 2 weeks after that, we're going to be having a monthly mailbag and two other special features of some sort. So if you have any suggestions for what gimmicks you want us to do, maybe Belt or Bury, maybe you want us to try out the new Tap Out, or Healer Face, or Superstar Scores, or Busted Open, whatever the case may be, leave a comment for that as well, and tune in next week to see what ends up happening. On behalf of everybody on the panel this evening, I'm Tony Mango, this has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out.
He's got the outro in his hands. He's got the whole outro in his hands. He's got the outro in his hands. He's got the outro in his hands.